Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Thank you for listening to this Belly Up Sports Podcast Network product. Some said we go belly up, so we made it our name. And we're still here.
Call yourselves Title Town? Are you kidding me?
That's fraud.
It feels like a gray area.
Spoiler alert, Canada. Cup's coming back to the U.S. of A.
There's way too much negative stigma attached to strippers.
I hate you guys so much.
My dog just shit his ass.
Hey, everybody. It is Wednesday night, and that means it is time for an all-new edition of Craft Brewed Sports. I am Mike. With me, as always, is Scott. Scott, how you feeling, man?
Feeling great, feeling good. Great to have you back, buddy.
Oh, thanks for holding it down for me, fellas. I appreciate you guys running everything last week while I was out dealing with some family stuff. You guys held it down. No, don't act all shy and nerd. No, you guys did a great job. Congratulations on running that.
Yeah, after the first 90 seconds where Scott muted his ass talking into the camera about what's going on.
Look, it was all about the streak continuing, and sometimes the streak continues off a blue pin or a seeing eye single. Fuck it. You went 1 for 6, but you got that one hit. That's all that matters. Streak is live, baby.
Or a electrical transformer blows out, blacking out the city when you walk on your wife banging another dude, and somehow the streak continues.
Wow. Mookie.
You're absolutely right, Scott. Absolutely Mookie. Right.
How you doing, Mookie? How you feeling tonight, man?
Good, real good.
Mookie,
I dropped that earlier today, and they didn't get it, and I was so disappointed.
Oh, Cal Ripken conspiracy theory is one of my favorites, man. I love it.
Such a good one.
We got an awesome show for you guys tonight. Tons that we're going to get to. Scott's got a conspiracy theory that he wants to talk about. A-Rod is now an owner of a basketball team, so we have to talk about that. Yeah, there's some craziness going on there. We've also got XFL and CFL news. And tons more to get to. But before we get to all of that, why don't we tell you guys about these beers that we're drinking tonight? This is the beer portion of the show. I'm out of practice, guys. But let's give a shout out to our friends over at Beer Drop. Our beers are provided by Beer Drop. If you want award-winning craft beers delivered straight to your door, starting at under $4 a serving, our friends at Beer Drop can hook you up. Just fill out your flavor profile, sign up for one of their monthly plans, and they will curate a box of fresh award-winning craft beer that will be sent right to your door. You can swap out beers, add more, or even skip a month. And if you don't like commitment, you can still go and order delicious beers to be delivered right to you. Just go to craftbrewedsports.com/beerdrop for $5 flat shipping. That's craftbrewedsports.com/beerdrop. I've got a drop coming very soon. And amazing. Scott, I know you talked last week about the customer service that we had at Dugout Mugs. Beer Drop, amazing customer service, because I thought I missed my drop last week while I was out of town, and I sent them a note, and they were like, nope, you're good. Here's the tracking number. Here's when your beer will be there. Fantastic people over there at Beer Drop. So go hit them up. Again, craftbrewedsports.com/beerdrop. Scott, what are you drinking tonight? What's in your mug?
I am drinking Sticky Hands by Block 15 Brewing Company. This one's nice. 8.1%er IPA. Oh, most importantly, though, 4.15 caps on Untappd.
Oh, there you go.
We're rating this beer on the sports ownership scale from A-Rod all the way up to our good friend there in Dallas, Mark Cuban. Man, this is solid. This is some of the best ownership that you could possibly think of. I don't know. I don't want to put it up at Mark Cuban's level, but Let's go with Jesus Christ, I can't even think of an ownership group that's stuck around forever, and I don't want to name the one in LA that shouldn't be named, or the one in New York that shouldn't be named,
or the other one in LA.
If you want to talk about an ownership group that's been around forever, just wait till I get to my rating. You'll see what's up.
The one in Cincinnati, I'm sure. I don't know. I'm going to have to. This is one of the best ownership groups in sports, but I can't nail down who that actually is. So just know that it's up in Mark Cuban territory.
All right. Fair enough. Drew, what do you got in your mug tonight?
Yeah, I don't know how to say these words. It looks like rice, blueberry, raspberry. It's from Evil Twin Brewing in New York City, they say New York City, but they're actually from, what is that, Ridgewood, New York? So I don't know, probably a suburb, whatever. All I know is this thing is amazing. They have apparently a bunch of different flavors of this same type of brew. There was a passion fruit, there was a peach, there was like six different versions of it. It's a milkshake IPA coming in at 7.5%. The thing that had me most excited about it, 4.4 caps on Untappd. That's
there you
strong.
Go. That's a great
That's
rating.
Coming in pretty strong. It held up. It is absolutely delicious. I just can't speak highly enough of it. So if I had to make it an owner of a prominent sports franchise, I would say it's the owner of Notre Dame football. Because
NBC?
You want to talk about longevity, you want to talk about, you know, winners, you want to talk about something that really stood the test of time. Well, there's only one ownership group that has done that, in my opinion, and that's God.
There you go. Oh, there you go.
What? I don't know how that was supposed to redeem you or help in any way. That was
Who
cool.
said anything about redeeming? I'm just saying, you know, if Notre Dame's run by, it's a Catholic university, and, you know, then, like, God is their owner as far as the university, and then they run the football team. So
I thought
the ownership group, right?
I thought if, well, I guess that would be Scott that would have said that, but I was fully expecting the owner of Notre Dame football to be the BCS or BCS Bulls, since they own Notre Dame and Notre Dame can't win one.
Well, then I would have just said the SEC in general. I would have narrowed it down just to that.
That's a fair take. That's a fair different take.
I would say the SEC and the top part of the ACC.
You motherfucker. Tabari was helping you out, by the way, Scott, for an owner that
the
has Rooney's, been around
yes.
forever.
And the Rooney's, yeah. yeah. And in fact, I will take that, Tabari. This is a Rooney ownership group rating right there. Like, that's one of the best ownership groups in sports. They've been around forever. They know what they're doing to keep their franchise successful over the long haul. That's this beer right now, but just coming in strong.
Shit, he said every time I listen to the show I'm shaking my head at Drew within 30 seconds. So there you go.
Hey man, I'm consistent. I start fast and I finish hard, baby.
That is a consistent thing to take home. It's like 30 seconds in, you get that head shake. Yeah.
Hey, wifey ain't complaining, so neither am I.
Fantastic. This week I'm drinking Returning Sun Blood Orange IPA from Veritable Beer Company in Sunnyside, Washington. It's 6.2%, so nothing crazy on this one. 3.95 caps on Untappd. So again, this is, it seems kind of middle of the road, and I would probably put this on the sports owner scale kind of middle of the road. I'd maybe give this one a Dan Gilbert out of the gate. Like, it's an owner that did something good. You got a championship in there, but at the same time, you also sent a letter in Comic Sans after your best player left. So are you that great? Like, I don't know. I don't know how to judge you.
I almost lost my shit for a second because I heard Dan, and my brain immediately went to Snyder, and you're like, he did some good things. I was like, what the oh wait, Gilbert, the other dumb Dan, but not quite as horribly dumb Dan. I got real worked up for a second.
Dumb Dans. Let us know in the comments what you guys are drinking tonight. Chime in below. Let us know what you're drinking and rate it on the sports owner scale from Mike Brown all the way up to Mark Cuban. This has been.
We said from A-Rod all the way up to Mark
Cuban. Oh, I forgot. I didn't change the document.
You were the one who came up with that.
Terrible. just terrible.
I had originally
welcome back.
I'm back in form. I'm mid season form already, baby. I take a bye week, I pick up right where I left off. Well, what happened was I put it in the dock as Mike Brown before I changed my mind to A-Rod, and then I never changed the dock, and I'm like Ron Burgundy. I'm just gonna read whatever you put in front of me. So that's the problem here.
That's how you keep the sponsors from getting pissed at you. Just read exactly
what's in front of me. Speaking of sponsors, go check out Beer Drop for your beer needs. Craftbrewsports.com/beer drop. All right, boys.
So wait, I was going to throw this out earlier with the Beer Drop one, but like we were talking pre-show, and honestly, I think the best part about it is they help you from yourself. Because the way that you buy beer and the way they package it up, like there's so much selections
they help you from you, and that's it, because you were the only one with DeVore that had the problem of ordering to where the UPS guy was questioning what your life was turning into.
Yeah. Drew,
didn't have their problems. So
Drew, didn't you get an
DeVore?
You got an order one time, Drew, that the guy had to use a dolly to bring in, right? Like you had
that's a thing that happened.
Are you open? Like he probably wondered if you were really operating a speakeasy out of your damn basement. Ordering that.
But I ain't sharing, so absolutely not. But that's the best part with Beer Drop. You just set it, forget it, and all you do is every once in a while they send you an email and they ask, how'd you like the beer? And you thumbs up, actually it's a 5-star rating. They take that into account, and then they just do everything else for you.
Yep.
It's phenomenal.
Then you get recommendations for the next time based on that.
Yes, sir.
Quality people over there at Beer Drop. Go hit them up. All right, guys. I want to start off. I didn't really get to talk. I was disappointed. You guys had a lot of baseball talk last week, so let's talk some baseball.
Here's the pitch. Oh, shit.
All right, guys. Lots of... Wait, you didn't, Scott? You didn't listen to the audio on any of these?
No, I did listen to the audio on them.
It still hits so hard.
I missed the audio.
Oh man,
that's my favorite one. That's my favorite one we got. All right, let's talk a little baseball. Replay being called into question this week. There's been a lot of endings this week that went to replay, and replay screwed up. Shuddy's saying, what the fuck was that? That's called a transition, Shuddy. That's a professional transition. He wants me to play it again. Yeah, let's play it again. Here we go. We'll play it one more time.
Here's the pitch. Oh, shit.
I could watch that all night on repeat. I like Ian Kinsler, but
it's my proudest moment on this show. I'm not gonna lie, the best thing I've ever done. I finished that and I woke my wife up and I was like, "Baby, I missed my calling. This is what I'm supposed to do with my life."
I mean, hey, I would hope Scott could at least give you a reference or something to help you get your foot in the door. You know,
be like, "Look, my buddy, I got you, man. That's good work."
Unpaid internship, whatever. He'll take anything.
Whole career, and I've been editing for years now. Holy shit.
Can I just put that as like a demo reel? Like, just send that in and just be like, "This is what I've done. This is it. This is my tape."
God damn it, you're in.
What more do you need to see, though, Scott? Really, though.
Oh, I'm not denying. I'm agreeing. That's what I'm saying. I'm all in.
All right, well, thanks, fellas. I appreciate the vote of confidence. They go downhill from there, I'm not going to lie. There's one other one that I'm super proud of, one that we've used in the past, but that one is the premier one. That's what I wanted to use at the top of the show. So let's talk about this.
We got to start talking baseball in the middle of just December, right? The winter meetings. Use that transition.
We will find reasons. We're going to make people like us talking about baseball just because of that transition. They're going to be waiting for the baseball talk just for that. Jenny's saying MLS season starts this weekend. Will FC Cincinnati repeat as the 3-time Wooden Spoon winners? I don't know what the hell. Hang on, let's get into baseball. What is this Wooden Spoon?
Just tell Jenny nobody cares. Nobody asked you. Nobody cares.
Holy shit!
I'd prefer if we didn't drive off our listeners. Our fans by telling them that we didn't care for them.
I was gonna talk some soccer with you, Mookie. Like, Edan. I was gonna do it for Edan, but all right then. Anyways,
now you're gonna back
Jenny.
Out. Now you're
Jenny. Scared, you don't want FC Cincinnati will have a magical run, and I'm looking forward to our fire and ice bets again this year because it's going down again. We will do more fire and ice bets on the crew.
Can somebody explain the Wooden Spoon Award, because the Wooden Spoon was not an award in my house when I was growing up. It was a punishment.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
Point, Scott.
What is that? Is that like the worst team in the league gets the wooden spoon?
Or when Columbus continues to just whoop your ass all the time,
oh,
you get the wooden spoon.
Well, she said three times in a row, and I know FC Cincinnati has played Columbus more than three times, so they would be like the six-time wooden spoon winner if that was the case. So it's got to be something with...
If you want to go over multiple years, that is very true, which is partially why I didn't want to talk about how shit this team's
going to
be
Jenny. Jenny verifying, yes, year. The wooden spoon is the worst team in the league. And yes, okay, FC Cincinnati will win that award, and I'll wear that proudly. I'll hang a fucking wooden spoon up right behind me, and I'll... sign it to just be like, dude, you goddamn right. Last place.
Be sick.
The stadium is going to be pretty slick.
It's going to be so dope. Like, there's just going to be booze all over that stadium. You can go in and hang out for a minute, get a flight, go back out to watch the guy finally get his ass up off the ground. I was just hoping if we were going to talk soccer, we were going to talk about our U.S. women's national team that just
suck
kicked
it,
the
France.
Living shit out of France.
Well, I was gonna talk soccer later on in the show. I was gonna do it.
All right, cool. We'll just use this as like a little warm up. We'll come back to it, and we'll start from there.
Matt Stanton with the perfect call out that Scott is turning into an 80s comic. We used to get beat as kids, and then you can like talk about how you got whooped with a switch, and then the track
they make you go got
the
go
Hot
out
Wheels track.
The tree.
You get yeah, oh we got I got track. Beat with the Hot Wheels track.
I alluded to it, but the wooden spoon. See, my mom used the one with the holes in it, so I got that wind resistance.
Ooh, there you go. I never had.
I didn't know that was an 80s comic thing to do, but I'm here for it.
Scott's like, that's true. This is not an 80s comic thing. It's a real life thing. This is what
right.
that is.
That's how we lived,
guys. We're way off track here. Let's talk some baseball.
Here's the pitch. Oh shit.
You're brave, Scott. How do you feel about getting robbed on that play at the plate against Edon's Phillies?
Oh, dear God, I hate baseball so much. you think the NFL has the most horrible replay, and it's because it's, you know, more popular of a sport, so it gets more publicized. But goddamn, MLB's replay system is fucking horrendous. They want to speed up the game, take 8 hours to... tell you that the play was inconclusive when everybody in the world can see that a guy was safe or out within seconds of it happening, and yet we're still blowing it. Like, we went from human element to, we don't really know, so whatever.
Well,
like,
it's still
plays just stand.
It's like, still a human element. That's the crazy thing to me. Like, they talk about taking the human element out of it. There's still a human element because there's still somebody reviewing it. So, like, if they don't have a good look or whatever, somebody still has to make that call. The thing that drove me nuts this week was, like, everybody was like, oh, so should we do away with replay in baseball now? And I don't think that's the way to go. Like, just get it right. No, just get it right. Like, if you're going to have it, do it where you get it right.
Yeah,
like, make
the
calls right.
MLB has had it for how many years now, and they haven't gotten it right? My thing is, if you get boned on some blind old white guy telling you, well, you were out, and it was clearly, you know, the ball was 10 feet off the plate, you're like, well, that's the human element, and you roll with it, and you're like, that sucks. But when they have technology at their disposal and you see the video replays and you're looking at it and it's 8 minutes have gone by and you're like, what the hell is happening? What are they still looking at? Because I can see that he was clearly, you know, out or safe or what have you. Like, what are we doing? Just get rid of it. If they're still going to blow it with camera angles that prove one thing or the other, just fucking ditch it.
Well,
I'd rather
just
go back to it just being...
They're not going to get rid of it. Like, once you have it in, they can't get rid of it.
It's horrid.
It is horrid. It's very bad. And to your point, if the whole point is speeding up the pace of play, then we don't need to take forever on these replays. We need to have a set limit of time, and then they need to get the call correct. I don't understand how there can be a camera that looks so goddamn crisp, it feels like you're in the stadium walking behind somebody as they walk off the mound, but we can't get a clear-cut picture of a play at the plate? Are you fucking kidding me? Like, that's the craziest part about this.
And
there shouldn't be any inconclusive. With the technology where it is, there should not be any inconclusive plays ever. Well, there should be so many cameras everywhere.
It's your replay system. How are you going to be like, well, it's inconclusive? You know, well, fucking ESPN, I can see on their replay system within 30 seconds what the deal was. Like, how is yours inconclusive?
Drew's mad. Guys, Drew's upset.
You're missing the point here. It's hard. I know we have really good cameras and really good TVs and whatnot, but it's really hard to get these right when the game is moving around and it's moving so quickly and the players are flying around the field. You know, it's hard to know where you've got to have the camera focused so you can get that clear shot. You know what I mean? So sometimes you've got to deal with the camera angle coming from a different area.
Would you swear that who's ever directing these calls by these MLB cameras, that's how they operate, where it's just like, Jesus, we didn't have the camera on home plate, so we didn't get the greatest of angles. Well, we've got the one from center field. It was kind of there, but you can't really see anything. It's like ESPN's like, hey, look, the one replay we have, it definitively shows this. we're going to put a counter on how many times we can show you this same angle before we actually get the call. 8 minutes go by, I'm sure 800 times you could have seen the replay where it showed you exactly what you needed to know.
Look, here's what I don't understand. We can have a camera in center field that is focused in such a way that like you can see the catcher giving signals behind home plate, but you can't get a camera high enough that won't be hit by a ball but is looking down on the base and is zoomed in far enough that every angle on that base is covered. Like, there shouldn't be any obstruction in a camera angle when it comes to the technology that we have right now. Jim wants to know if they don't have a war room reviewing these like the NHL.
That's the problem.
What is the NHL's war room like?
The NHL war room is up in Toronto, and anytime there's a replay, it goes to this room full of monitors and angles and switchboards, or whatever, and the referees in that war room make all the calls to all the games.
Yes, so that's what they have in baseball in New York.
I thought it was the umpires on the field calling it.
No, they go and put on the headphones and just call in and ask what they hey dude, would you see on this one? Evan's saying the number one thing
that's
I wish they do.
That's what makes it so infuriating that they get it wrong still.
Yeah, that is the frustrating part. Evan's saying the number one thing I'd wish they do is give the umpire, ref, etc., 60 seconds of real time replay. They can't decide in that time, the call on the field stands. That's not a bad idea, but if the plan is to get it right, then I'm okay with slow motion and like it doesn't have to be real time. Judge this bang bang play in additional bang bang time. Like, slow it down, just get the call right. That's all I care about. I don't care if it takes a little bit longer because you got to look at a different angle or different views. Just get it right. Like, there's no point in replay if it's not right.
Mike, I got you here. All right, all we need to do, this is Mookie saves baseball, fixes baseball.
Woo-hoo!
Yet again. All you need to do, and this they can do for the World Series, because you don't need to do it for every single regular season game, maybe the crucial ones down the stretch, but all you got to do is you hire Christopher Lloyd to fly above home plate and in the outfield and whatnots, Angels in the Outfield style with a camera, and he'll just kind of follow all the shit around from up there, and then you got that new angle that can tell if you're out or safe.
Drink responsibly.
I like it, Drew. I actually like your take of get a person to fly above. But okay, hang on though.
Not a person. Christopher Lloyd.
Just
Christopher Angel.
Specifically Christopher Lloyd above every stadium.
Christopher Lloyd. Yeah. So
but
he,
you bring up the
so
point,
is,
like,
you know, just.
How does a drone, how can you not have a drone flying over the stadium that's zoomed in on every single base that will show
they,
the
they
perfect
don't have
angle?
The battery life of a Christopher Lloyd. Michael, I've solved these questions. Jesus. Just fucking listen to me, man.
What size batteries does Christopher Lloyd take?
Large.
Oh, okay. Good way to go.
You pinned him to the wall and he couldn't get out.
Yep.
Biscuit wanting to know if the guy in New York was Angel Hernandez. Yes, I asked that same question. I was like, is it what? That had to be Angel Hernandez. That's the only way. But that wasn't the only bad call either this week. Like, there was the Mets game where they won in the walk-off hit by pitch because the dude leaned into it, and then replay, they were like, man, that's it's
Christopher
probably
Lloyd.
Jesus Christ.
JB made me do it.
Yeah, JB did say Christopher Lloyd one more time, so he said it. Just giving the fans, after telling the fans, we don't care, stop asking us questions, he then gave the fans what they wanted. So thank you, Mookie, for being consistent.
you know, honestly, Mike, what can I say?
Yep. See, that's why you need audio on that, Mookie. That's why you need audio.
That'd be great.
Because the podcast crew does not, like anybody listening to the podcast, does not see that you just threw up a wild card gif on that one. All right, let's...
Give it time. We're working through it, man.
We are. Did you guys see that Trevor Bauer took some balls and sent them for inspection? Because there's some questions about Bauer's balls. What do you guys think about Trevor Bauer's balls? Scott, what do you think of those balls?
They can't be any dirtier, stickier than Kenny Rogers' balls in the world or in the playoffs and World Series a few years ago with the Tigers. sticky balls, like that's one of those unwritten rules in baseball. I'm like, I don't give a shit. Like if you're good enough to get away with it, go for it. But if you're stupid enough to go out there and have the ball look like Craig Biggio's batting helmet, then you deserve whatever happens to you.
Did you see JB? Holy fuck, no one cares. Did you see though what his response was? He put up on YouTube. He put up a video like talking about. He was like, okay, now listen. There's clearly rules against a pitcher being allowed to have substances on their jersey or on their hat or something like that. But there's no rules against the catcher being allowed to have something on their chest protector or their glove, or the third baseman having something, or the bat having pine tar on it, as long as it's not above a certain point. He goes, so how can you tell that anything that's on these balls came from me and not from like the third baseman making a play? Which at first I was like, dude, you are clearly hedging your bets because you are about to be fucked when these results come back. But then the more I thought about it, the more I was like, actually, he might be onto something there.
I just was going to say, I think he dropped a boom lawyer gif after this. I felt like my man just walking out of the courtroom with the no more questions, Your Honor, and just mic dropping that shit. Like, Trevor is accurate. Like, again, I don't really care. There's a lot of things that go on sports that aren't like inherently, you know, juicing I think is bad or whatever, but stuff like this where it's like as much type of things as all the different players use, if a pitcher can get away with it, then F it.
Well, and unless you catch them live, then there shouldn't be punishment for it. It can't be something that you catch after the fact.
Your balls after. Unless he's like bringing balls out to the mound with him, like, yeah, these are my special balls. Like,
these are my balls.
These are my exclusively used balls. I only use these. Like, then maybe, you know, maybe inspect them and check them out. But yeah, I mean, if he's getting the same shitty balls that MLB doles out to everyone, then fuck it.
Drew, how can Christopher Lloyd save? How can Christopher Lloyd save Trevor Bauer's balls?
Christopher Lloyd will make sure that Trevor Bauer knows what's most important, and that is, did you get the W?
I believe Christopher Lloyd in that movie, the thing most important was family and understanding.
That's not how we play here. This is not Disney Christopher Lloyd. This is a working man. He's got a job to do, and that's to sell a product, which is baseball as entertainment. Oof, so we want to get that W. Oh, family second.
Yeah, good really, God. Really hard to sell baseball. That's a tough sell right there. Baseball as entertainment.
That's why if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. But at the same time, if you're not first, you're last. That's all I got to say on the subject.
Thank you for all of those movie slogans. Yes.
Fantastic quotes that you just dropped in there, Drew. Appreciate you. There's one thing, Scott, before. Do you want to do your conspiracy theory now, or do you want to make fun of the Tampa Bay Rays? Because that was another thing I saw
Let's
this week.
Let's make fun of the Tampa Bay Rays.
The Tampa Bay Rays.
I want to walk off with my conspiracy.
All right, that sounds good. The Tampa Bay Rays were out here this week. They put up on Twitter, they had their ring ceremony for their AL championship rings. So they put up on Twitter pictures of everybody getting their rings, and they were, I don't even remember what the tweet said, but it was something along the lines of like that new ring feeling. They're celebrating losing in the World Series. Like, this is the equivalent of when who was that team that we laughed at, the hockey team that put up the best regular season division in the banner? Like, that's
mad at yourself when you didn't immediately get the reference. I thought it must be something in the water down there in Florida. This is totally Florida State Champ Rings.
Yes, all it is the State Champ Rings.
This is State Champ Rings. What the What is wrong with the teams in Florida celebrating backup shit? Yeah. What the hell is that?
Thank you, Tyson. It was Nashville that put up the, hey, we're the best in our division in 2018. Here's our banner we're going to hang in the ceiling. This is unreal. Like, if I was a player, I wouldn't even want the ring. I mean, okay, give it to me, fine, take a ring, but don't make a big show out of it. Don't make a big show out of it.
I was just going to say, I was like, backup, because I think that getting a league championship ring is fine. It's that there's not supposed to be any pageantry for it. Like, you're not supposed to throw a parade or raise a banner or anything. Like, well, I mean, and depending on the franchise, maybe raising a banner is not that big of a deal if you're the Rays. Like, go ahead. They haven't won many AL championships, so go ahead, raise a banner. You know, if you're the other team in New York, raising an AL championship banner is a waste of everybody's time. But you cannot have a ring ceremony and act like that is a big deal that you got this ring, because it's literally the, oh yeah, we didn't win it all ring. Just a reminder that you came in second.
Drew, would Christopher Lloyd wear an AL championship ring if he didn't win the World Series?
No, because again, we're here for winners, okay? We want people that want to win. We want winners. Christopher Lloyd ain't got no time for this second place bullshit. You gotta be kidding me, right? Like,
I was hoping for some other movie cliche quote to be dropped in there. So I'm sorry,
no,
Drew.
I'm trying to. I fucking hate Facebook, but that's a whole other thing. The shitty app crashed, and now I can't find the goddamn live stream so I can watch again. I hate fucking Facebook.
You don't need the live stream. Why do you need the live stream? You don't have to watch. You can view everything on your
for the comments, man.
You can see the comments on the. You can see the comments.
I gotta kill the stupid thing in StreamYard, or else the computer freezes.
Oh, that's killing. Tyson, just to clarify, baseball sucks. Well, there you go, Scott. You had a conspiracy theory, and let me find the music here for this, because we got a new conspiracy theory transition as well. Let's see what your conspiracy theory is for this week, as it relates to baseball. Scott, over to you.
Well, this is fantastic, because this idea was actually thrown to me by a cart guy, boy, I don't know. He looked a little older than being in high school. Anyway, he was collecting the carts at Kroger as I walked out from getting my first shot yesterday. Hey!
Hey, welcome to the Derna Club.
Here, all right.
COVID cape, baby. Get
half black,
cape.
Half vaxxed. Way to go, Scott. Proud of you.
Anyway,
do you know how long I've been holding
on to that one,
as
Mike?
As soon as he said he got the first dose, I was like, I can't wait till he brings it up on the show. Cannot wait. God. Oh man, I'm so proud.
Well played. Anyway, I'm wearing Braves gear, shocker, as I walk out of the store, and the cart guy says to me, so what'd you think about the replay this week? And I'm like, nice. Yeah, you know, bullshit, you know, yada yada. He's like, well, he's like, at least umpires get, you know, a few things. I'm like, I don't know about umpires getting anything right. We might as well ditch replay, you know, big shocker, the same take I just took. He mentions, did you just see Joe West won his thing today? And I'm like, yeah, which is really weird considering Joe West usually loses on the field. It's like, and keeping in mind, I didn't mention the part that this cart guy or whatever he was Asian. So then he's like, yeah, and Angel Hernandez lost his case a few weeks ago. Big shocker. Makes you think who they favor. And I thought to myself, holy shit, he's right. And here's my conspiracy theory. I have to side with fucking Angel Hernandez. The man has been brought up in this show not once already, but twice. And the fact that this dude, we brought this story up a little while ago, like months ago. I can't remember because TLDR, too long, didn't research. We brought up the story about Angel Hernandez suing Major League Baseball because he thought like there was racism because he wasn't getting picked to umpire for the World Series. Well, fast forward to 2 weeks ago, big shocker, it turns out that the courts are like, no, there's nothing here to show racism. It just basically means that you suck at your job, which is what Major League Baseball is saying. Well, in the case of Joe West, who also sucks at his job, I don't know if you guys remember, we brought you the story about how Joe Webb was suing Paul LaDuca for saying that he had said, you know, defaming things on a podcast, basically suing to restore the good name of Joe West. Well, Joe West won his lawsuit to the tune of $500,000.
Holy shit.
Yeah, which just happened yesterday. So the idea that was given to me by the cart guy, I thought, huh, isn't it amazing that Angel Hernandez, he of Hispanic background, was denied his lawsuit, but the white man, Joe West, won his lawsuit. So my conspiracy theory is that ism again, rearing its ugly head.
Did you really think they were going to rule against Cowboy Joe? I mean, come on. Like, because again, Scott, think of who judges are, right?
The judges are all in Trump's pocket, aren't they?
They're OWGs, and they're some of the O and the W-ist, you know? And so, of course, they're going to rule with Cowboy Joe. Get out of here.
Drew, thank you, because I was trying to come up with a joke to transition there, and you nailed it with Cowboy Joe West. Thank you. I appreciate you, Drew.
I was
more or less waiting for Mike to be like, so your conspiracy theory is the same thing you always say, the race card? I would be like, yeah, more or less. The American justice system is corrupt. But more my conspiracy theory is MLB is trying to get me side with fucking Angel Hernandez, which is horrible, because he's goddamn awful at his job, and he shouldn't be umpiring anything, let alone
that's
a World
the better.
That's... Here I am defending his ass, because, you know, racism.
Racism.
That's my,
damn it, Major League.
That's
baseball.
My favorite part about this is that because you love to go that route, you love to be like, it's racist, you now have to side with Angel Hernandez. And that's my favorite part. It's not even a conspiracy theory. It is just, hey, Scott gets fucked in this one. Like, that's basically what this comes down to.
That's basically why I thought it was a hilarious thing. I wanted to present it as a conspiracy theory. Oh, there's racism, but nah, it's just that I gotta fucking side with it. If anything, this is Major League Baseball trying to get me to side with their horrible officiating. They're like, hey, that call this week, it was really bad, but... Didn't you see how we screwed over Angel Hernandez?
Oh, man.
Minorities here.
That's amazing. All right, there you go. Let's talk a little basketball. You fellas want to, since we were talking baseball, A-Rod's in the news in the basketball world, so let's talk a little basketball.
Boom, shakalaka!
All right, here we go.
Oh, boy. See, the problem is
the
transitions. Audio does not translate nearly as well to podcast form as the video going with the audio does.
I know. Yeah, I know. Listen, if you're listening to the podcast after the fact, just go find it on Facebook, our Twitter, on YouTube, wherever, and go look at these transitions, because I'm so fucking proud of these. All right, so
Mike will cut up probably a 60-minute clip of all the transitions he put together for this week, so don't worry, it will get in front of you. Before we move on, though, I did want to propose we throw this in our quick hitters for next time. Gabe says the shopping cart theory is whether or not you return your shopping cart makes you a good or a terrible person.
Oh, shit. I think that's a good
basketball coach.
I think this is
100% true. And as somebody who worked in a grocery store and had to go get shopping carts, the people who would just leave their cart wherever are fucking assholes. Like, you don't even have to take it all the way back to the store. Just put it in the corral. It's right there. Yeah. Like, and I understand there's times like you got the kids or whatever, then park next to the corral. And that way you could just drop it off and get right in your car. Gabe, the theory is 100% true. If you don't take your shopping cart back, you are a douchebag. So that is going to be a new quick hitter question. Take your shopping cart back to the corral, yay or nay. I think that's, we got to add that, right? Like, that's got to be added.
Absolutely.
Well, that's funny because I didn't know that that was a thing, and I've always thought of myself as mostly a terrible person, but I have always – I'll even take other people's carts if they're just roguely in the damn parking lot and put them in
the cart. You are generous, Scott.
No, like seriously, like there's nothing worse than – like, especially watching somebody who just pushes it and then they put it next to the cart depository. I'm like, oh, you got to be fucking kidding me. You pushed it next to it. So you realized where it was supposed to go and you still were like, nah, I can't fucking be bothered for those extra few inches. Like, oh man, that's the worst type of person.
And Matt saying, what monster doesn't answer that question properly? That's a very good point. We will. We're going to catch a lot of that gotcha journalism that we do here on Craft Brewed Sports. We're going to
What's going to be the worst is when somebody nails the answers like that we enjoy for the rest of them, and then they get to that one and strike out at the end where they're like, nah, I'll just leave the fucking cart where a punch to the gut.
Somebody, that's what their job is. That's what they get paid to do, is go get the carts.
I know who would have that take.
And I like it too, because we can rank people, because there is one inside baseball secret answer, secret menu style, if you will, right? Because the absolute right answer is not that you take the cart back. It's that you see how far away from the cart corral you can be when you push that motherfucker and it slides right on.
Yes, golf cart bowling or shopping cart bowling.
You still end up putting it in there if you miss, but like how far back
shopping,
can you get that thing and get the slope right and all that? Like,
shopping cart bowling, man, when I worked at Farmore back home, that was the best. Oh, it was the best.
Why are you that guy anyway? You miss out on that opportunity by not putting the cart back.
You know what the best is? The best is when you're doing shopping cart bowling and you slide it and thinking it's going to go in the cart, but instead it veers off and then it hits the BMW three spots away from the corral and you get to laugh at that guy and go, you moved parked over here so that nobody hit you, but fuck you! And then you go put it back in the corral and walk away.
In that case, that's the one I'm leaving. Oh, shit, I hit the BMW. We gotta go.
Scott's, and here we see the differences between Mike and Scott.
Scott's wife.
No, I mean, like, I'm a very courteous person.
No,
unless I accidentally hit a BMW, then I gotta go because I'm not paying for that.
Scott's wiping off fingerprints off of all the carts, even the ones he didn't touch. Like,
I gotta delete the video. Like, I gotta a lot of stuff. Like, it wasn't me. Fuck that.
But see, I feel like that's wrong, though. That's that ism coming in again. You know?
It's not an ism. Not an ism. That's just my white privilege that I can hit the BMW and then put the cart in the corral where Scott has to then hide afterwards.
There a lot ain't right with this country, I tell you what.
Andrew's saying, based on Joe West, if I come on the pod, do you just be yourselves? I can sue for big bucks.
Yeah, but
I'm really shocked that he won that one. Like, I didn't think either would win the arguments, but the fact that Joe West was like, yeah, I mean, you know, that's defamation, and Paul LaDuca actually has to hand over $500K, like, man, that is a big old L.
That is an L. That's a big time L. All right, let's talk some basketball. Once again, let's do basketball. Big news that Tyson broke for us in the comments here. UC has hired their new coach, Wes Miller, to Cincinnati. Cool, UC. Good luck.
Yeah, right? Big fucking deal. Still a shitty team.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, Brandon was supposed to be the guy. Like, everybody was all jacked up that Brandon got hired and that he was the up-and-coming from NKU and he got him into D1 and look at what he's done with this program. And then he's gone 2 years later and there's nobody left on the roster.
It's a bunch of bullshit, man.
What is the story?
It's a bunch of bullshit.
What is the story?
The story is he's a fucking asshole. Like, the guy doesn't know how to actually manage or run a team. And he was talking shit to one player about another player. And, like, look, college basketball is what it is these days. College football is kind of that way, too. You do have to play to some egos, right? Like, they've always said that Phil Jackson's best skills as a coach wasn't drawing up plays. It was making sure that he kept Kobe and Shaq together for at least a couple rings. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And Brennan couldn't do that. He was just incapable of figuring it out, and somehow he lucked his way to take an NKU into the tournament because he's playing in the friggin' who the hell knows what rec center league they played in where they won the bid.
Horizon League, excuse me, with Youngstown State. Put some respect on that name.
I'm putting all the respect in the name by saying, you know, the defense rests right there. You just made my case for me. So, like, dude was not ready for a big-time program, couldn't actually manage what it takes to run a program. He could coach enough games to get a championship in the Horizon League with Youngstown State, put respect on their name. But that's not going to fly at UC, even though they're in the American. Like, you got to figure out how to navigate these nationally televised games, these recruits with egos feeling like they're entitled to something, and somehow make a team out of all of that. Grand Canyon University could figure it out. Why can't you?
You bring up a good point, Drew, because there was that story like early on there. I forget. I think it was his first year. There was some stud at UC, and I can't remember. I don't know who plays for UC because I only pay attention.
Cumberland.
Yes, Cumberland. Thank you. Cumberland and Brandon were like button heads, and everybody was like, well, it's okay. It's nothing really to worry about. But then here we are a few years later, and he's out, and UC, the program is in shambles. Like, what do you... Scott, are they going to come back from this anytime soon?
I mean, I just want UC and their fans to just accept that, you know, they're just a middle of the road program.
Stepping
now,
stone.
They're a mid major now. So, I mean, you know, it is. They're just out here doing mid major things. So the sooner that they all accept that they're a mid major, the sooner we won't even have to talk about this. Like, I mean, you know, it's a bitter pill to swallow, but that's really all it boils down to is, like, you're a mid-major, so if there's shock that this and all that this has happened, it's like, well, I mean, you know, get ready. You're going to have a whole lot of this, which is just guys that nobody else will take.
Well, that's what,
like, oh, man, 2 years and we're butt-fucked.
I was tweeting with our buddy Ed from Pardon the Punctuation, the Cincinnati-based podcast, and he was like, Mike, there's big news out of Clifton. I was like, I can't wait to find out who the next guy to not lead you out of the first weekend is going to be. Because that's all UC basketball is to me. Like, I get there's a history there, and they've got, like, their Final Fours in the past and all that shit. But, like, what have you done for me lately? You're nothing. Well, like,
they're resting on past success. But it made me giggle as soon as you said something about who's not going to lead him out. So, okay, we all made fun of Mick Cronin, and he's a piece of shit. But look at what he did with UCLA this year. Yeah. The amount of time he did it. So what are we saying? Brandon leads who to the Final Four? Like, the next year and a half.
Well, okay, so that's the thing. Like,
that'd be amazing.
He's going to take over. He's going to take over Siena when Rick Pitino and guide them to a Final Four. And it'll be him and Mick Cronin on the other side. And I'll be like, man, remember when we were both at UC? Good times.
The good best time. Of me.
That's we really kind. Used that mid-major to step up to real programs.
We step up to real programs. Brandon goes to Iona.
I said Siena before, but yeah, it's Iona.
I really stepped up to Iona here.
Oh, God.
Oh, man. All right. Well, there you go. There's some UC news for you. But the big news out of the basketball world this week, A-Rod is now a co-owner of the Timberwolves, kind of, because it doesn't actually take place until 2 years from now, which I don't understand. He bought it as part of an ownership group, and then they get like the owner is like, yeah, that's fine. But two things. One, you can't move the team. And two, I'm sticking around for 2 years. And they were like, yeah, we're in. That sounds great. So A-Rod will be the Timberwolves owner at some point. Anthony Edwards from the Timberwolves had this to say about this this transition. I want you guys to react. I don't know if you guys have listened to this take yet from Anthony Edwards, but this was in a press conference where they're asking him about A-Rod buying the team.
Do you have any thoughts about him? Are you an A-Rod fan at all growing up or anything like that? What you think about what he might bring to the team?
A fan? Who is he?
A baseball player? Alex Rodriguez?
I don't know who that is. Anthony Edwards cements his place as Scott's favorite Timberwolf because he has no idea.
I gotta go get me an Anthony Edwards jersey yesterday. Oh my God,
no
he
idea
know who A-Rod is. He's like, is this somebody? I don't know who that is.
Are you a fan? Like, well, why should I be a fan? Who is he? has no idea who A-Rod is.
I think my favorite part of the story, though, is that there were all of those rumors about A-Rod being part of the Mets ownership group and, like, you know, oh, he's definitely going to be in on the Mets, and him and J-Lo, they're going to be part owners of the Mets, and and instead he settled for the Timberwolves after that fell through.
No, it's not the Timberwolves. It's the Timberwolves and the Lynx. He gets both of them.
Great. So he'll ruin two franchises. Congratulations.
It reeks of when you were a kid and you were dead set on getting a certain toy and you had the money saved up and you just knew you were going to get it. And you go there and they're sold out. And instead you settle for two crappier toys that you don't really want. But I mean, you're doing it because you've got the money and you're just, and your parents are like, hey, look, I wouldn't blow my money on that. That's kind of a stupid idea.
Just save it and wait.
Right, just save it and wait. But you're like, nah, fuck it. I kind of like this enough. I just got to own something. And so then A-Rod is part of the fucking Timberwolves and the Lynx. What a combo.
It is.
All the players doesn't even know who he is. It's a great week.
It is amazing that, like, it is. It's so desperate. Like, he's just like, I want to own something. I don't give a fuck what it is. Let me buy something, please.
What other sports franchises are on the block? The Timberwolves. I'll take them. Fuck it.
All right, but here's the theory, though. Like, the fact that they put in the contract that says you can't move the team, that's fodder for people being like, they're going to ignore that and they're going to move the team to Seattle. So do you think if A-Rod purchases the Timberwolves, buys the team and moves them to Seattle, relocates them, screwing over Minnesota, do you think basketball fans will like him or love him in that case? Because everybody wants a team back in Seattle.
They would, but I'm not about to write the storybook ending to the career and life of A-Rod, where he left Seattle as, you know, the kid after Griffey, and he was celebrated. That was before we knew he was just one big giant cheating piece of shit. And he somehow is celebrated as a hero returning to Seattle with basketball and a franchise that they've wanted since it left. And oh, he restores order. No, fuck that. He doesn't get to write a good story to the end of his career. So I do not want that to happen whatsoever.
I reject this theory.
Allowing him to move a franchise to Seattle and be celebrated in any way. No.
Look, let me chime in here with, you know, at least some substance, because we get it. Everyone hates A-Rod. Like, come on, Scott, get an original take for some point here in the
segment. Post-breakup purchase. Matt Barth, post-breakup purchase is my favorite take. That's my favorite take.
Yeah, that's a solid take. But really, I want him to take the franchise and move it to Seattle, because then we'll get another franchise to backfill Minnesota. Because what I think we really need to see is like a 64-team field type thing in the NBA. Like, let's let the NBA grow to a little bit more size, because I think their play-in tournament for the playoffs is a great idea. We're going to see some awesome hoop. So, yeah, let's extend this out to 48 or something like that. Add some teams, man. There's plenty of talent to go around. Let's do it.
So your idea here is let A-Rod move the team to Seattle and then replace it and add a shitload more teams. Water down the product.
So we can have a mid-season tournament.
Water down the product a lot so that you have like a lot of pretty good guys instead of a small amount of really good guys. And then it ends up being the Nets versus the Lakers, because four All-Stars join the Nets and three All-Stars are on the Lakers. And it doesn't matter how many fucking teams there are on the NBA, because it's always going to be the team with the most All-Stars that makes it into the championship.
So one, why is that a bad thing? Two, you just literally asked me the Michael Scott question of, would you like a little bit of really good pizza or all you can eat of kind of okay pizza? And I am going to take the kind of okay pizza every motherfucking day, because I can sit there and just hammer on those pies, hammer on some brews, watch some sports. It'll be great.
All you can eat.
Yes.
Die.
Drew,
but that's also what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying with the NBA. Why not let it be that? Because you're right. The Nets, the Warriors of old, they will always win the championship. It'll always be LeBron and the other superstar team. Cool. So why not make the other stuff entertaining, at least something worth watching as we lead up to that? Give LeBron the last 3 months of the season off for all I care. Like, the Lakers are coasting into the playoffs and have been for a month or more.
Drew, you actually just totally changed my mind. I'm on board with this now. You get the two teams who are like the mega teams, the superstars,
right,
and they're just their own thing. Like, at the end of the season, they play a 7-game series for the title. Everybody else gets to compete for the all-you-can-eat pizza championship, and they all play in a tournament to decide, yes, who is the best. Well, that didn't stack the deck.
Look, we can narrow it down to who's going to win that based on that. Sounds like some runner-up shit. So we've got Orlando Magic. They're in Florida. That's the way they roll. And we got the Miami Heat. So it'll come down to the Heat and the Magic for the pizza, all you can eat shitty pizza buffet championship. Yes. And then they'll celebrate it and raise a banner for it. And if you're the Heat, you'll probably throw a parade, because I mean, you retire numbers for players who don't even play the sport. So
see, this is what I'm saying.
You know what, Drew, you've convinced me.
Yes, Drew,
it's a great idea.
You have won us both over, Drew.
Bring a championship to Florida, damn it.
Guys, and it gets even better. Think about it. It gets even better because you can have ESPN sell the rights for movies, because it's going to be the upstarts, the scrappy team that fought through the tournament only to be vanquished by LeBron in the finals or whatever. You can sell it up that way. Plus, we're creating jobs. That's a great thing. More basketball, more jobs. It's the best decision I've ever made.
All right, easy there, trickle down. Drew, really turn this... Ryan McCarthy's saying this, you really turn this into a pizza by Alfredo versus Alfredo's Pizza Cafe argument.
Yep.
Matt Stanton, he's given you a new nickname. You are no longer Mookie, you are CeCe's. That's going to be your new nickname, dude, from now on.
I'm pretty sure me and my roommate kept CeCe's and Norwood in business for far longer than they deserve to be.
I noticed they closed down as soon as you left Norwood. So yes, I think you're right about that. And then Ed wants to know our thoughts on the Wes Miller hire at UC. Ed, we talked about it, man. I'm sorry you missed it. I even gave you a shout out to our Twitter back and forth part of the punctuation. Go back and check it out because we have some thoughts.
We really broke it down. Like,
you, no, we
really
did.
It's very in-depth coverage that I think a UC fan is really going to appreciate our takes on this Wes Miller hire at UC. Tyson saying Little Caesars. All right, now we've got to decide here. What is Drew's new nickname?
Littler Caesars? No, that's fucking dumb.
Hold on. I don't hate it. Back up, because this is an opportunity. We need to come up with one more, and you've got to think in the same vein, one more shitty pizza place so that we can do a sip, chug, drain, pour on CeCe's, Little Caesars, and whatever the third one is we come up with. Now, don't go with one of the big chains because you think it'll be funny. It's got to be in the same vein as Little Caesars and CeCe's. Like, that's
Can I nominate? Let's do some nominations for the third one. How about How about Chuck E. Cheese? That's a pretty shitty pizza.
But I was thinking of at least a place that has takeout. Like,
they do.
Like,
yes,
who in their right mind would take Chuck E. Cheese pizza out of that place?
Dude, they started.
I think you only ate it because you were there, and that's what they had.
You don't remember that during COVID, they started rebranding their pizza as like a different name. It was like not Marco's, but it was like. It made it sound fancy. Who's the Mario looking dude from the animatronic band? That's who they named it, and it was like so and so's pizza, and it was just Chuck E. Cheese.
Chuck E. Cheese?
Yeah, in the animatronic band, there's like a guy that kind of looks like Mario.
Yeah, I know who he's talking about, but I don't know their names.
Red Baron has been nominated by Ryan McCarthy. Tyson says pizza.
Dude, maybe just go the DiGiorno route. Also, Andrew Foles, get out of here with that Jets hate.
Is it Pascal? Yes, thank you, Matt Stanton. Pascal.
Yeah, I was gonna say Jets is delicious.
Yeah, Jets is good.
Oh my god, it's the best. That Detroit style.
I do like me some Jets. Okay, so what are we gonna go with here? Do you want to go DiGiorno, Red Baron, Chuck E. Cheese? What's the third?
I think it's gonna be Chuck E. Cheese because I want it to because DiGiorno and Red Baron. I mean, that's frozen pizza. So
I think it's a salad.
Frozen pizza, though.
Yeah. So I think what we can do is let's just say DiGiorno, because then what we'll have is the CeCe's is the pizza buffet. Little Caesars. I see you rolling your eyes.
Oh, no,
Scott.
That's
Little
a good
Caesars
point.
Is the delivery, and then we get some, one of the.
He's got a.
Kinds,
it's a good point.
Okay, all right.
It's
all
a very
all
good
all
point.
All right, all right. I could see that. All right. Now that you've explained
logical.
The theme, go ahead.
Logical. Okay, one. Drew, sip, chug, drain, pour, DiGiorno's, CC's, or Little Caesars.
Oh, my God. This is one of the tougher ones we've ever had on the show.
This is extremely difficult.
Can we get the quick hitters music?
Yep, we sure can. I was actually looking for it as you said that. This is very tough. And also, if you guys are listening, chime in the chat. Sip, chug, drain, pour. DiGiorno's, CC's, and Little Caesars.
Also, really all quickly, right. Are you old manning it and putting an S on DiGiorno when there isn't, or is it actually DiGiorno's?
DiGiorno's, actually DiGiorno's, Little Caesars, CC's, pizzas, ghosts.
Okay,
and we
you
need
might
to
be old manning.
We
okay.
want to. We want to sips, chugs, drain, pours those. Drew, you're up.
Yeah,
first.
No, you're totally. You're fucking that up, man. There ain't no S on that.
It's
sorry,
just DiGiorno.
So, yeah. It's the way
well, I mean, the commercial is it. It's not delivery, it's DiGiorno, and I still threw in DiGiorno's, so I'm a fucking idiot. Thanks.
Yeah, you old man. But go
on. All right, so
sips,
I'm
chugs, drain pours.
Pour the DiGiorno's. I'm going to drain pour the DiGiorno's. Because, yeah, it's all right. It's pizza. It's something you make when you're drunk because you're like, I got no better options right now.
Something you burn when
I'll
you're drunk.
I'll do what I can for there. Something drain pour that. I will chug CC's all day because I love me some pizza buffet, and I will go there and I will eat until I get sick, and then I will eat just enough that I can get safely home from there and pass out for like 2 days, and I won't go back for 2 weeks, but it'll be a very memorable time in my life. And then I'm going to sip the Little Caesars because you can get like a fat four takeout pizza situation, throw on some wings, throw in some jalapeno poppers and whatnot and have a real good, you know, weekend of it and not feel like death, you know, for the rest of your life, basically. So the variety, the freshness of the Little Caesars, that puts it at my sip.
Scott, do you want to go or do you want me to go next?
I'm just going to go ahead and go because mine's real quick. Drew actually knocked it out of the park with this one.
Yes.
I'm going to sip Little Caesars. I'm going to chug CC's and drain DiGiorno. But I also have to like kind of back up and preface that by saying I love all of pizza in any form. Like I'm that guy who's like, yeah, pizza's great pizza as long as I'm eating it. And so CC's, as terrible as it was, the fact that you could get it in abundance for $5 amazing. Little Caesars, again, they've stepped their game up a little bit, but even if they hadn't, you know what you're getting. That $5 holler, baby. And even DiGiorno. DiGiorno's are clutch. Like, I keep them in the house just because I'm like,
oh, yeah.
We got kids and oh, there's no food in the house, but oh, shit, we've got a DiGiorno. We're good to go. So, like, they're all clutch, but definitely sip Little Caesars, chug CC's, drain pour DiGiorno.
All right. Ryan McCarthy saying that Drew came up with the new ad campaign for DiGiorno. DiGiorno, yeah, it's pizza. That's the new ad campaign for DiGiorno. Biscuit is hitting us up. He said Little Caesars paid Rosa Parks rent, so they get the chug, sip DiGiorno, and drain CC. You might as well just put that in the toilet straight away. And then Andy Foltz said, drain poor CC's. I've got diarrhea just thinking about it. So, all right. So here's I'm going to. All right. I got to agree. I got to drain poor CC's. The fact that it's buffet scares me anyways, because I don't know what little kid with their snotty fingers has been touching the pizza and then leaving it there, and then I go up to get it. It's
maybe
disgusting.
We should have done pre- and post-COVID.
Even pre-COVID, that place grosses me out. Like,
it's
so gross.
To think about it
and then on top of that, like, you get just the regular pizzas go out so quickly, so they're just firing out their cheese and their pepperoni as quick as possible. It's never cooked all the way because they're out of it and they got to put it out because some crying kid wants his fucking cheese pizza. So I got to drain poor CC's. I got to get rid of that one. Now I'm in a pickle because the last time.
Yeah, you're in a real tough spot.
I'm in a tough spot because the last time I had Little Caesars was Drew's bachelor party.
Oh,
and
boy,
for those of you that may not have heard the story,
the story from that were epic.
Yeah, for those of you that may not have heard the story on the show, we started drinking it too, playing foaling, throwing the football at the bowling pins, and it was a lot of fun. And then we went to watch the Crosstown Shootout, and college kids bought me shots of vodka. And I ate Little Caesars, and then I puked on the sidewalk of the bar and went home and fell asleep before my 3-year-old. So tough to tough. Little Caesars has
about that is that I was walking into the bar after the game to meet you guys, and I look in the gutter and I go, "Oh man, someone puked. That sucks." Only to find out later that it was Mike.
Well, and the best part too of that is, so not only that, Drew's walking into the bar and I'm in the Uber as he's walking out that they called for me, and I was like, "Bye, Drew," and he goes, "Bye, Sherm. Wait, where are you going?" And then I was gone, and that was it. Never to be seen again that night. Hey, so now I'm in a tough spot because I've got frozen pizza against puke pizza. Yeah. So I think I've got a chug DiGiorno for Scott's reasoning. You got kids. It's on hand. It's a quick, like, hey, here's some pizza. And I'm going to sip Little Caesars. $5 hot and ready, despite the fact that every time I eat it, I'm going to think about throwing it up on the sidewalk outside of Monty's. It's solid, and the Detroit style that they've got, the $8 lunch special. Little Caesars is the way to go.
Came up enough to where they bottomed out, and they were like, "Look, you get a piece of paper with some red water, and we'll sprinkle some cheese on it. That's what you get for $5, okay?" And for a few years, they just rolled with that as their baseline. And then they're like, "All right, slowly but surely, here's how we're going to get them. We're going to introduce different things here. Oh, no, this is the premium version of our $5, so it's $6. Oh, now we've got bacon on the crust, so that's $7. Oh, no, wait, now you can get Detroit style. Now you can get three toppings.
The pretzel crust biscuit. Biscuit calling out the pretzel crust. Yes. Oh.
Like, Little Caesars has silently perfected the crack game. Like, they're like, "Yeah, you guys have done what you've done. We can't out Pizza the Hut. We fucking know that. We ain't gonna try to out Pizza the Hut, but we gonna out pizza everybody else in this bitch."
I like that. Like, no, you're 100% right. Little Caesars went crack game, hooking you on the shit and then bringing it up slowly but surely. They went the complete opposite route of Domino's.
Make that catchphrase. How does that play? What's that marketing phrase from Scott there?
Yes. Little Caesars. Y'all crack babies now.
Right. They got us hooked and we didn't even know what was happening. We're like, it's shit pizza, but it's $5. Now we're like, it's my go-to. But oh, look, they have these premium options. Let me dabble. Isn't bad. You're right. It's not bad compared to our paper and red water. But
and
you
can't bitch because it's like, well, this wasn't great, but it was also only $8. So it's kind of solid. Like,
it was
like,
instantly
$8.
Ready.
Bucks?
It was
like,
a drive-thru.
Right. And it was right. Yes, a drive-thru.
That's true.
They got a drive-thru. That right there is clutch enough. All right, so there you go. There's our sip chug
DiGiorno. We're going to look up and Little Caesars is going to be running the country. And we're like, what the hell happened?
And we're all going to be okay with it, Scott.
They did it $5 at a time is what happened.
I like that they took the approach of, we're going to do this slowly but surely, whereas Domino's ran that whole ad campaign where they were like, hey, we were shit. We're not shit anymore. And then people tried it and they were like, you're still kind of shit. And they were like, fuck. All right. Well, you got us. Well, all right. See you next time. We'll try this again in a few years. Did you guys see what Kevin Durant said, by the way? We should probably talk some more. We should probably talk some more.
You don't give no damn about no Drake night.
Let's talk some more basketball real quick. Kevin Durant said that he is no longer motivated by championships. And I don't
neither
know.
Neither am I. I am no longer motivated by championships, guys. Just so you know, at no point from now and going on the rest of my life am I motivated by championships. I'm just motivated by the grind. Like, I'm just motivated by living. Like, come Come on. God damn it, Kevin. Well, like, weekly now. Weekly now. We're going to turn this to a segment. What did Kevin say this week that makes it hard for me to defend his ass?
Here's the exact quote from Kevin Durant. This is what he told Rachel Nichols in a SportsCenter interview. He said, quote, "I wasn't expecting to be a happy human being from a title. I was just expecting, like, you know, the ending of a movie. Once you work so hard and everybody tells you, like, yo, this is what you need to be working for, is this gold ball and these rings. And I'm like, all right, cool. Let me lock in on that. And I locked in on wanting to achieve that, but I also realized it's a lot of stuff that factors in it that's out of my control." Bro, you left to join a team that won 72 wins the that had 72 wins the previous year. Then you left that team and ended up with 9 fucking all-stars on your squad. Like, if you aren't motivated by championships, then what are you even doing? Like, why even do that? If you're not motivated by championships at this point, why don't you do something like go back to OKC? You know what I mean? And, like, try to, like, rebuild that with the community, or invest in the community, or go to, like, a scrub team.
Or go to D.C. because he's from D.C. and he could play for his hometown fans. Or go play somewhere. At Dallas or San Antonio and be like, hey, I played college ball at Texas. I'm bringing it back to Texas. Yeah, that's why this bullshit doesn't hold water. Like, everybody knows championships are what defines careers. And I mean, I actually do believe Kevin when he says, that's no longer my motivation, but only in the way that it's like, yeah, man, you know what? My motivation isn't winning games anymore because mostly I know I'm not gonna, so fuck it.
Like, but he is. That's the thing.
Well, no. But I mean, but that's the thing. Like, how many more championships do you think Kevin Durant has in him? Like, legit, right now, as of today.
I mean, he's definitely, he's got a chance this year.
The answer's zero.
No, are you kidding me? You don't think this year he's got a chance? Why do you think?
No. I'm not saying chances. I'm saying how many more rings does he actually bring home? And I think the answer's zero.
Oh, okay. I got you on that. All right.
Yeah, yeah.
So Drew's saying three?
Kevin Durant.
Three?
Yeah. Probably three. Wow.
Three?
Like three.
Look, Drew, I know the Nets stacked the deck, but three?
No. I
had to say something outrageous to get in here edgewise, because really what I wanted to bring up is, did you guys know that Hennessy is the spirit of the NBA?
The official spirit?
It is, according to the commercial on the broadcast here. Yeah. Hennessy is the official spirit of the NBA.
Well, that's like the most on-brand thing that any sports league is doing. Like, I mean, how many NBAers have come out and said, yeah, I mean, just to get game ready, I take a shot of Henny and then we roll through it. I know that we had that in the NFL and Clinton Portis and Washington, but like NBA and Hen Dog, I feel like that the only thing coming close to that combo is NBA and strippers in Atlanta.
And lemon pepper wings.
Right. Like, I mean, that's the only thing touching that combo.
Magic City, the official strip club of the NBA. How do you get, like, how much money do you have to pay to be the official whatever of a team?
I've always wondered that, too. Like, when it comes to, like, how beneficial is it to be the official whatever?
I mean, it's essentially just a commercial, right? Like, that's what you're paying for is commercial time during the broadcast.
Sure, but I mean,
well, like, but they gotta say it all the time and shit.
Right,
too.
I was gonna say you get mentions at like games and live shit and like stuff like that. But I mean, it's beneficial, I think, if you're a brand that deals with what the sport kind of deals with, right? Like, I mean, if you're the official hot dog of the Reds, okay, that makes total sense, right? But then when you're like the official car battery of the Cincinnati Reds, like, what the fuck is that shit,
dude? But see, Scott, you're joking, but like that shit happens, and so is that because they paid the Reds enough to be named that, or are they bidding against someone else? Because it's like, man, the official battery of the Reds is a hot contest this year. Who's going to win the contract rights? Like, is there other people trying to be the battery for the Reds?
I don't know, but either way, I feel like whatever money spent on it was ridiculous.
Do you think the sales team is like pushing people? Like they're like calling they're like, listen, AC Delco, I got fucking this other battery company on the line. They are going top dollar. I need you to get in with a big offer. You got to come in big offer.
And that's 100% happening with these teams. The teams themselves are calling up individual companies. I mean, it'd be like, shit, we don't have, what else can we milk? Plumbing. Hey, Joe's Plumbing, you want to become the official plumbing company of Cincinnati Reds? No? Okay, well, Tim's Plumbing, they offered us quite a sweet deal. And you're going to miss out on being the official plumber of the Cincinnati Reds, just so you know. But yeah, the teams are totally making those fucking calls and pitting companies against them, because Joe's company will be like, yeah, man, we got to be the official fucking plumber. We can't let Tim be, because, I mean, that's going to take all the sales from us. They're going to see one ad from Tim at the fucking game this week, and then we're sunk.
Do you think the players have to use the stuff that's like the official of the team? So like their apartment goes bad and they're like, listen, you gotta call Joe's, and their landlord is like, I'm not calling Joe's because he fucking charges an arm and a leg, and they're like, you don't understand, you gotta call Joe's because it's in my contract that I have to use the official whatever of the Cincinnati Reds. Also, here's my room full of Evan Williams bourbon and my great smoky sausages, and my car is charged by the Delco battery, because this is what I gotta fucking do.
Wait, while I wish that's how it was, that all the players for whatever team it was had to use only official brand whatever of anything they wanted for the team, I think that would be incredible. No matter what it was, it'd be like, sorry, you have to use this. We've got to deal with them, so it sucks to suck. They totally care about that at the professional level, except for that contract deal for the apparel. That's the only one that matters. The apparel deal, it's like, you better not wear shit that contradicts that apparel deal, or we'll fucking kill you. We will end your career. But everything else, yeah, we don't care.
That's
if you
aggressive,
use.
Bro.
We don't care if you use Tim's Plumbing. It's fine. It's good. You think it's a joke, but that's what gets them moving, is those damn apparel deal.
All right, listen, we're running low on time. That was our basketball talk for the night. Let's talk a little football real quick.
Touchdown!
It's my least favorite transition, but it's still pretty solid. The big news out of the football world this week, the XFL and CFL are actually talking big time crossover. We had a story a couple weeks ago where they were talking about like helping each other grow the game, and then the CFL was like, by the way, we're canceling our season because of COVID. But they're looking at like growing the game by potentially having interleague games, where an XFL team would play a CFL team during the season, and then potentially a championship game between the XFL and the CFL. Guys, is this finally the step that we needed to have a contender to take on the NFL? Drew, you've been super quiet tonight. I'm sorry, I've been super chatty. Is this the step we needed? Is somebody finally going to challenge the NFL?
Well, you're asking about how two leagues are going to come together and play cross-league games. So really, my first question is, are they going to use the designated hitter or not?
You son of a bitch.
I mean, hey, it's two leagues coming together. That's usually what is the first thing they have to hash out. So I think we as fans have a right to hear about that.
I do like the idea of them playing Canadian Football League rules if they're playing in Canada, and playing XFL rules if they're in the U.S.
That would be awesome, but there are some things that need to work out there, because Canada does, what, three downs, no punts or something crazy?
Yeah, you like, get the
completely different
running start from the wide receivers on pass plays.
I just want the old XFL rules brought back. I want the guys sprinting out to center field for the ball.
Oh, my God, that was the best.
Yeah, I mean, I want just things that are clearly dangerous for everybody involved.
But, like, back.
And they're like, Canada, you want in on this? Yeah? All right, let's do this.
Good luck, Canada. But this is like clearly the objective. If this is the case, if this comes to fruition, clearly the objective then is merger, right? Like, we're going to see an XFL-CFL merger down the road, right?
Good on that E, because for a second it sounded like murder.
Well, no, it is going to be murder.
It would be murder.
Yeah, there's definitely. Teams, I was going to say some players will probably definitely get murdered if they adhere to my XFL former rules.
Are you looking at Tyson's comment, Drew? Is that why? Drew, you are amazing. I noticed that last week when I was watching the show, having been away and like watching it after the fact, you are amazing at just reacting to comments without actually saying what the comment is, to where people are like, what is Drew looking at right now? Like, I was so confused multiple times throughout. Tyson has some...
Scott will never shut up. Otherwise, I'll just have to talk over him about the comment, you know? know. That's I'm trying to be polite
leaking,
here.
So I'm doing a beer bong.
Oh shit, we should do a beer bong. Go ahead, yeah. Scott, do your Kong beer bong. There you go. This is the Kong beer bong. Word of the day is, God damn it, Drew. There you go, Scott. Hey-o. Way to go on that one.
AKA most heard phrase in my bedroom.
Wow.
Why
for
is
the record, that?
That
is not at all sexual.
Why is that the most heard word? I'm so confused.
Well, there was a situation most recently where, let's just say that a cereal in bed situation went poorly.
There you go again, trying to merge four ideas. Bedrooms and cereal.
Are you kidding me? That's an amazing idea when done right.
Yeah,
I was
dry.
Just gonna say, I'm like, but you have to depend on it being done right, and that's where things go south.
The only way that's done right is when it's Ben Shapiro's wife style, dry as can be. That's the only way that's done right. You can't.
So now we're really seeing what happens when Mike has a week off. Is he writes a shit ton of material and then sits on it, just waiting like a fucking deer.
Wait a second.
Woods,
how was I waiting? How was I waiting for a Ben Shapiro
really that
opening? That was off the cuff, baby.
That was
off the cuff.
You have Ben Shapiro's wife on your mind a lot? Like, that's just weird.
No, I have Ben Shapiro's talking about his wife being dry on my mind a lot because I'm very I'm confused and I'm sad for her. I'm very sad.
But like the rest of us, we saw that headline and just kept moving right along because it's like, nope, nothing good will come out of that.
No, we did not. No, you did not. You clearly do not look at memes enough, Drew. That's the problem there.
Fuck
you.
I ain't got time for this children shit.
All right, that's Drew, do your beer bong. If you guys want your own beer bong, craftrootsports.com/beer bong. Kong Bong is a fantastic company. Ohio company out of Columbus. They make a great product. Keep your beer cold and do beer bongs. Did you do it yet, Drew?
Right. No, I was going to give a shout out to Don because I'm doing this in his remembrance because I didn't get to talk soccer for him.
He's not
and
dead.
We're running out of time. Who knows, man? He has finals and papers and do stuff, man. Like sometimes you don't make it out of that papers alive.
Papers and do and stuff.
Drew, do your beer bong. You just talked about how we're running out of time and then you're.
Do your beer bong and get you some DiGiorno's.
Oh no, we're going chicken fingers tonight,
you
man.
Son of a bee. Are you going to eat those in bed? Are you going to eat the chicken fingers in bed? I would say sauce them up. Sauce them up just to make it super messy and gross. And then wake up with like medium sauce all over your bed sheet. And then Jenna will be like,
no,
what the fuck were you doing?
No.
And, then you could be like, you got the built-in excuse. Drew, you got the built-in excuse. You could just be like, it wasn't cereal.
She doesn't even ask anymore. Are you kidding? I got my side. She's got hers.
That's exactly
there's a reason
the
why
you
I'm,
would go,
I'm
though.
Her half
you,
of the
you
bed.
You complained about me having cereal? Well, then fuck it. I have wet wings and
taco sauce, baby.
That'll teach you.
But see, this is the secret, though. This is why I have my blanket that I lay down when you said situations are occurring. So then when an accident happens, you just take the burrito blanket and you put it in the wash and everything's fine.
When an accident happens...
You have too
hey, man,
many related accidents because you take too many risks. Cereal with milk in bed.
Because Scott, that's an easy question to answer. Why do you think I take so many risks?
Wild card.
Yeah.
Ryan McCarthy saying, merge the XFL and CFL. XFL teams play in MLS stadiums with CFL dimensions. Incorporate some of the XFL rules, the 1-2-3 point, no kick conversions, new kickoff rules. Two divisions, X division and North division, winners play for the Grey Cup and $1 million. Holy shit, Ryan McCarthy has it figured out. This is the talent that happens at Belly Up Sports. I have no idea why they're associated with us, why they took us on, because this is the thought-provoking stuff that happens, and we're like, this is cool, they're going to merge at some point. And Ryan McCarthy's like, here's how they merge. It's like, oh, you thought this shit out.
I also want The Rock to be commissioner of whatever this whole thing is.
Like, I feel like
he's the lord of this.
He definitely has to. Let's see. Tabari's saying, Drew, trust me, Mike hasn't written new material in years. That's true. I haven't written a damn thing. And Matt Stan saying it's a blanket for the burrito. He brought it to bed. So Drew's burrito blanket is just a specific blanket for his burrito.
My stomach still hurts from Drew breaking all that down. The idea of him getting in trouble for eating fucking cereal.
Where did he go? Where is Drew? Where did he go?
I had to take a piss, man.
Oh, cereal milk, man.
It's not a burrito.
Wait, where are you? Because there's no.
Are you talking? Where are you? You're not on camera.
There it is.
What? That was back in.
That was the weirdest. Video, that was the weirdest buffer ever.
Holy shit! I just like appeared out of nowhere.
Yeah, seriously, you just blipped back in.
God damn it! Did I tell you I'm fucking stuck with Spectrum? Like,
I did. Yeah, you told me that you're so stuck. Bad. You are stuck. Yeah. Okay,
dude,
listen.
We should probably wrap up or tell them our beers.
Oh, I guess we should. What time is it? There was so much more it's I wanted time. To talk about.
Yeah, we've been live for 83 minutes.
Guys, the Masters was fun. Did you guys watch? Did you guys watch that at all? The Masters was fun.
I got to be honest. I watched all day. I worked really hard all day on Friday and Thursday.
I saw that Tiger won, and had it
on in the background, so it was actually quite enjoyable to have his background noise.
It was a good time. Hideki Matsuyama got the green jacket despite trying to blow it at the end on Sunday. He came really close to blowing it, but it also helped that Xander Schauffele choked it away on 16, went for the pin when he didn't have to. We don't have to talk big time Masters, but we do have to talk about the fact that the three guys that you guys picked, or four guys that the three of you picked, all lost. So when it comes to Mookie's Mad Props, everybody took an L last week. Sorry, Mookie. I know you're the big betting guy, but good Lord, that was it was a brutal week for all of us. I thought I nailed it.
DJ, yeah, you did a great job.
He didn't even make the fucking cut.
I was listening back. I'm listening back.
I got
back.
That text Friday evening, and I was like, you got to be fucking kidding
But our
me.
Boy Jay Kokrick made the cut. Jay made the cut and actually played really shitty on Sunday. He ended up finishing behind like Phil and a bunch of other guys, but he made the cut, and that's a dude. We got to get him on the show.
What did he I'd get love paid, to though? Like, if you make the cut, that's big cash.
Dude, Xander Schauffele, who was in second place and then fucked it up and ended up tied for third, he cost himself $875,000. Triple bogey on 16 cost him $875,000. This dude he's gonna be fucking
and
pissed.
Joe West made that this week, being not a goddamn thing.
Let's talk about the beers we're drinking. This is Last Call, and it is brought to you by Dugout Mugs. Listen, everybody, it is baseball season, and it can be baseball season all year round when you drink your brews from a Dugout Mugs baseball bat mug. Head on over to dugoutmugs.com/craft. Get 15% off your order. All your favorite teams, customizable designs, wine glasses made from bats, bat shot glasses, and bottle openers made from baseballs. And now the 9-ounce whiskey mugs made from bats. Hit them up. dugoutmugs.com/craft. Swig for the fences. Listen, guys, I'm not going to say that Dugout Mugs are magical, but every game that I have been drinking bourbon from my Cincinnati Reds Dugout Mugs whiskey glass, the Reds have won. In every game that I haven't, they've lost. So I don't know if that might be some causation without correlation, but that's a thing that actually happened. So if you want your team to do well, go to dugoutmugs.com/craft, get 15% off. Help your team get to the World Series by drinking from a Dugout Mugs bat while your team is playing, and they will win guaranteed, or your money back. Just kidding. That's not a real thing. Scott, where were you drinking tonight?
I got to start drinking more during these breaks. It's disappointing me. I was drinking Sticky Hands from Block 15 Brewing Company out of Corvallis, Oregon. This motherfucker was fantastic. An 8.1 ABV IPA, 4.15 caps on Untappd. And if we were ranking it on the ownership and sports scale from A-Rod all the way up to our friend in Dallas, Mr. I can't think of his name.
Mark Cuban. I didn't know if you were vamping or if you were. Work. Yeah.
Yeah. Mark Cuban. I'm rating this a Mark Cuban because, good God, this is fantastic. Like, I can't believe I held on to this beer so long. I bet this beer tastes even better when it's first brewed because I don't know when this was canned, but I feel like I've had this canned for like a year. All I know is that it was amazing even after.
Dude, I did love that one. Yeah. I love that one. That's a fantastic brew.
Amazing.
Drew, what were you drinking, rating it on the sports owner scale from A-Rod up to Mark Cuban?
Yeah, I was drinking Ricey, whatever the fuck it's called. I know. Blueberry Raspberry from Evil Twin Brewing, New York City, out of Ridgewood, New York. Ridgewood, word, whatever. 4.4 caps on Untappd. This beer was super solid, very bright in color, delicious, tasted exactly like it was described. So, you know, I'm going to stick with my original rating earlier of, you know, God being the owner of the Notre Dame football franchise, because just like everything else in my life, it was here and gone too quickly. So, I feel like it held up its end of the bargain from start to finish.
All right.
Hey, I found it. This motherfucker was canned on May 11th of last year.
Ooh.
So, dude, this is so good. Year.
Yikes. That's not good for an IPA to wait that long.
I know,
long,
it's not good, but that speaks to how good this IPA is that almost a year later, still straight fire.
You would have loved it when it was fresh. That would have been...
But it was the, whew, it that was probably the best.
Yeah, that would have been so delicious when it was fresh. tonight, I was drinking Returning Sun Blood Orange IPA from Veritable Beer Company in Sunnyside, Washington. 6.2% ABV, 3.95 caps on Untappd. That ranking is going up because I'm ranking this one at least 4.5 caps because it is solid. It's a good IPA. I started this one off at a Dan Gilbert because I wasn't sure what I was going to get out of this one. I am elevating that one, and I'm going to rate this one the Packers ownership, the city of Green Bay, the fans that own, the only sports team that's owned by the fans. That's how good this beer is. It's unique, it's different, and it is something that we all want. It's everybody wants to own a sports team. Looking at you, A-Rod, and we this is the that's the closest you can get is owning the Packers, because every once in a while they're like, hey, you want to own a piece of the Packers? Just give us money and you can own a piece of the Packers. And we're like, cool, we can own a football team, and then your voice means nothing. But the point is, you get to say you own a part of a football team, so you become a sports owner. I feel like that's what A-Rod should have done, is just bought a part of the Packers. Like,
if he was gonna buy,
like, if you're gonna buy something, right? Yeah, right. You should have just done that. Just paid the $200 to get the certificate from the Packers that says you're a part owner. But in terms of owners in sports, that's a goddamn good idea. That's owned by the fans. I love it. So that's my rating for this one. This has been Last Call, brought to you again by Dugout Mugs. DugoutMugs.com/craft. Hit them up. 15% off your entire order. Drink from a bat just like we do here on the show. Fantastic company. Great customer service. Awesome product. Hit them up. Whew, boys. This was a show. Hey,
listen, real quick, I'd be remiss if I said, if I didn't mention, how long will it be before all of the Timberwolves are kissing themselves in the mirror? Because I will not have an A-Rod themed show where I don't mention the most A-Rod of all A-Rod moments. So how long till every Timberwolf is kissing themselves in the mirror? Mookie, give me the odds on that. What do we got?
Over, under 3.5 months.
3.5 months. All right. I'm in. I'm taking the over, but only because it'll take 3.5 months for all of them to figure out who A-Rod actually is.
Yeah,
and then understand the reference about kissing themselves in the mirror, and then to actually kiss themselves in the mirror. So we're looking at about 4 months.
Okay. See, Scott, this is where I think it's important to do research before you place a bet. Because you should know that A-Rod is going to be all up in that locker room every fucking day of the week. The minute he gets ownership rights, they're going to know who
he is. Which isn't going to happen for like 2 years.
I just realized.
So I'm sorry. I guess I should have clarified. It's over under 3.5 months once he takes ownership control.
Okay. Fair enough.
I just realized Matt Stanton said Drew's hat makes it look like he's about to share a political opinion in the cab of his truck on Facebook Live.
You know, and that's funny because I had a political opinion to share this week, but Mike didn't allow me. He was censoring me because those goddamn politicians, they done did it again.
Hey, listen, man, that's sponsors right. are bailing, so do it. Who gives a shit anymore? Fuck it. Like, let's go.
They finally got something right, though.
They
These
did.
Politicians here in Ohio have now started permitting alcohol delivery sales from all major outlets, restaurants, bars, whatever.
I can't wait.
As long as it's specially or it's particularly actually sealed, so you just can't be handing out booze in a cup, starting some date within the next three
this
three
past weeks Sunday it was this past so. Sunday it was oh, this past God. Sunday that it, well, it started I'm order your bourbon now
Sunday
order your bourbon now
yeah
listen I wanted
Sorry,
to
they did something right man
before we close out the show I did want to I started up the outro music but I didn't want to stop because I wanted to thank I got a lot of messages and texts from people over the past week after I was out last week there was a death in my family we lost my uncle very suddenly and it was super sad and it sucks but I thank all of you that reached out and sent me a message and said you guys were thinking about my family and me and I appreciate all of you guys and thank you to Scott and Drew for keeping the show going last week because if you don't know we have not taken a week off since December of 2020 like we have gone like fucking 2 years straight December 2019 sorry I'm drunk and now I'm emotional and it's a problem December of 2019 was the last time we took a week off so it's been amazing that this show like we kept going and we even put out like fucking Cincinnati style shows when we were doing that like we have non-stop shows since then so I was like crushed because I was like man not only am I dealing with this, but then the show streak is going to end. And Scott and Drew, you guys stepped up. You kept it going. So I appreciate you guys for doing that. It was fucking great. And thank you to all of you guys that sent me a message and reached out. I really do appreciate it. This has been awesome to get back in this, though, because I really missed this show last week. So thank you guys so much for tuning in. Thank you for sharing out the show. We really appreciate it. You guys have no idea how much that helps us. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. Go check out bellyupsports.com. Tons of content that's on there. New website. Go hit them up. Follow us at Craft Bee Sports on Instagram and Twitter. Like us on Facebook. Subscribe to the YouTube. We will see you guys next week. Cheers, everybody.
Angel Hernandez and Joe West are the worst.
Fuck them.
Some people were made to follow the instructions. We were made to make our own. To always measure twice and never cut corners. Unless, of course, we've got a compound miter saw. Northern Tool and Equipment is a problem solver's paradise. There's nothing we can't find, fix, or figure out together. We're made for this. Start solving your projects today at northerntool.com.
Hi, I'm Maria.
And I'm Mike. And we're
Team Ready. Black Hills Energy knows your home is where your heart is. So they want you to be ready.
It's all about keeping you safe, prepared, and making your home as energy efficient as possible.
Everything from how to weatherize your home to how to stay safe during extreme weather.
Be ready for anything. Go to blackhillsenergy.com/teamready.